In the marble halls of early 20th century New York, a petite woman with unusual gray eyes moved confidently among America's elite, making million-dollar decisions that would shape the nation's cultural landscape. Belle DaCosta Green wasn't just any librarian. She was the most powerful woman in the art world, trusted advisor to J.P. Morgan himself, and keeper of an explosive secret that could destroy everything she'd built. Born Belle Marion Greener, daughter of Harvard's first black graduate and civil rights advocate Richard Greener, she faced an impossible choice at 17 when her parents' marriage fractured. Her mother made the fateful decision to pass as white, changing their surname and fabricating Portuguese ancestry to explain their olive complexions. For Belle, this meant reinventing herself completely, understanding that a colored girl named Belle Marion Greener would never be considered for a job with Mr. J.P. Morgan. This duality created extraordinary pressure. Belle had to excel not just for herself, but for her entire family, whose financial security depended on her successful deception. "You don't have the luxury of making mistakes," became her guiding principle. What makes her story particularly poignant is that her professional success came at the cost of her relationship with her father, whose civil rights activism made public association with him dangerous. Their 17-year separation would end with a bittersweet reunion, where he expressed both pride in her accomplishments and understanding of her impossible position. When Belle first met J.P. Morgan in his oak-paneled study, she displayed remarkable boldness. Rather than cowering before America's most intimidating financier, she answered his challenging questions confidently. When asked why he should hire her over more experienced candidates, she reframed her limitations. "My inexperience means no staid preconceptions. My youth promises boundless energy. And being a woman guarantees I will attract attention wherever I go." This audacity won her the position, but her knowledge transformed her from cataloger to trusted advisor. She revolutionized the library's management and advised on acquisitions. Her negotiations became legendary, once securing a rare medieval manuscript at half price by mentioning a similar volume in Vienna. At auctions, she leveraged being the only woman present to secure prized volumes. Belle understood Morgan's library could become a living history of the written word, elevating a wealthy man's hobby into a cultural institution. She established relationships with museums worldwide, laying groundwork for one of America's greatest public libraries. Belle's relationship with J.P. Morgan was multifaceted. Employer, mentor, father figure, and perhaps more. Despite racial barriers that would typically disqualify her, Morgan recognized her exceptional expertise with rare books, granting her unprecedented authority. Morgan trusted Belle with independent acquisitions worth millions in today's currency. "You are no mere librarian," he told her after securing the Caxton collection. During the 1907 financial panic, he even confided in her during late-night card games while awaiting financial updates. Beneath this professional respect ran currents of possession. Morgan often reminded her, "You must always remember that you belong to me." This possessiveness intensified after her European travels, leading to jealous interrogations about her personal life. Their relationship reached a turning point when Morgan suggested becoming lovers. Though Belle declined to preserve their professional relationship, Morgan's death in 1913 left her both devastated and liberated, his bequest ensuring her future security. Belle's relationship with Bernard Berenson, the renowned art historian, brought both profound joy and heartbreak. Their connection began intellectually through his book on Venetian painters and deepened when they met in Morgan's library, creating what Belle called an inexplicable sense of familiarity. Their affair flourished during Belle's European travels, away from American racial scrutiny. They bonded through shared outsider experiences. Bernard, as a Lithuanian Jewish immigrant who reinvented himself, both navigating elite society through carefully constructed personas. The relationship collapsed when Belle became pregnant in Venice. Bernard responded coldly, "This cannot be happening." During her medical emergency in London, he remained in Paris, sending only telegrams. The final rupture came when Belle discovered Bernard had betrayed her professionally, sharing confidential Morgan sales information with dealers for commissions. Despite claiming she was the love of his life, Belle found one small victory. She had never revealed her racial identity to him. Belle's rise from middle-class colored woman to celebrated figure in elite America required constant performance. At the Vanderbilt ball, she discovered bold behavior could protect her. "To assimilate with this crowd, I must be bold and daring, hiding my differences in plain sight." Rather than blending in, Belle made herself memorably visible through striking clothing, witty conversation, and confident engagement with powerful men. This performance of confidence served as protective coloration in high society. Encounters with other people of color posed particular risks. At the Vanderbilt ball, a colored serving woman recognized Belle's secret but offered solidarity. A proud grin, seeming delighted one of her own has escaped the restraints binding our people. Belle's chief adversary was Anne Morgan, J.P. Morgan's daughter. Their standoff between two women with socially dangerous secrets eventually evolved into a mutual protection pact, with Anne acknowledging, "We both live with painful secrets that society won't accept." Though passing as white, Belle remained conscious of racial injustice. Reuniting with her father in Chicago deepened her understanding of America's broken promises. He described Reconstruction's brief hope before white supremacy's return through Jim Crow laws. When Belle asked if she should reveal her true identity, her father advised against it, encouraging her to continue transforming the Morgan Library into a public institution. "One day," he said, "your accomplishments will show what colored people can achieve." This conversation gave Belle permission to continue as Belle DaCosta Green while honoring her heritage differently. She began reading Black authors and newspapers to better understand her father's world. Belle's most poignant racial awakening came through interactions revealing the gulf between her privilege and others' experiences. At the Martha Washington Hotel, her kindness toward a colored waiter made her realize how America's racial hierarchy would have denied her talents expression had she lived openly as Belle Marion Greener. Belle's crowning achievement was transforming J.P. Morgan's private collection into a public institution, requiring both curatorial expertise and political finesse after J.P.'s death. When Jack Morgan took over, Belle's position became tenuous. Unlike his father, who appreciated art's beauty and historical value, Jack viewed the collection primarily as financial assets. Belle strategically appealed to Jack's sense of family legacy, positioning the public library as a tribute to his father. Her approach culminated when she reminded Jack of his father's wishes that the collections be permanently available for the instruction and pleasure of the American people. By 1924, the Morgan Library had become a public institution, Belle's vision fulfilled. Belle's story raises profound questions about identity, racial categorization, and racism's costs. Her life reveals the arbitrary nature of racial boundaries and possibilities denied by such barriers. She remains both inspiration and challenge, exemplifying extraordinary achievement against overwhelming odds while questioning the systems that created those odds.